Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we dwelt on the subject of God. That God is the ultimate goal of all religions. All masters who came in the past, they gave out about the existence of God in various ways, to the best they could. Because you see, the limitless, infinite cannot be put in finite terms, you see. But anyhow, to the best they could, they did explain about the existence of God, you see, in their own ways. And of course, in the languages which were prevalent at the time when they did visit the earth, you see. They left us a fine record of the valuable experiences they had with themselves and with God. So all masters who came in the past, each one of them left us some heritage, I would say, in the form of Holy Scriptures. So all those scriptures are so many pages of the Book of God that have been written so far, and there may many more be written, you see. Whenever the Master will come, they will speak about God, you see, and about the experiences they have with Him, just to show other people that there is some reality, you see, which the Masters who came in the past, they did contact, and their scriptures which they left with us, they are parallel on the subject, you see. A comparative study of religion showed us that all masters had to say the same thing practically about the essential parts of their religion. You see. They all did say there is one God. They all said God is light. They all did say, well, we have seen God and bear testimony to it. They did say, in their own words, of course, that God knows the pole at which He works, the Son of Man, you see. And the pole at which God works, who is the mouthpiece of God, He knows about the Father. And others whom the Son of Man reveals, you see. A teacher of a man is naturally a man, you see. If you say we don't need any teacher, then in that case we need books. Well, of course, books were written by somebody. Books give only what the writer says, you see. So if we don't need any man, we need books. If we need books, that means we need somebody. Well, you go through books, you got some doubt in you, well, books cannot speak. Again, you have to run up to somebody who knows something on the way, just to reconcile, or the author of it. Well, author has left the body. Who can you consult? Naturally, some other body who is conversant, adept on this, in the subject about which you have read in the book. So this is what was the subject yesterday, first, that there is a reality. The truth is one. It has never changed, you see. The same truth was in the beginning, in the middle, and even now. The natural laws do not change. Natural laws do not change, you see. Whenever masters came, they simply revived that truth which was the old one. They never invented any new thing, because the God is the same reality they experienced, to whatever extent they did give references to what they had experienced with that reality. For instance, this is a building, you see, so many of you have come here. If you belong to various countries, you go back, you write in your own language of the country to which you belong, just a description of this building. Well, salient points will agree, no doubt. But there may be some, minor things about which one may have said something, the other may have omitted altogether. The third one may have been more description, glowing account of that, you see. The man who has not seen this building, he simply reads those books written by those who have gone back. Naturally, he cannot reconcile at times what it is, how is it. But if those books you read out with while sitting at the feet of somebody who has seen this building, in that case, he will say, oh yes, I have seen this means that thing. There is no doubt about it. Similarly, all these scriptures we can read, but the right import thereof we cannot understand at times until we hear those scriptures from somebody who has had that experience with the Self and with God. So religion was, what may be said, an endless experiment with truth, you see, which prophets gave out, and all masters who came in the past, they gave out. All the known truths, I will say, may be taken as pebbles on the seashore of God, you see. And the more you advance, the more greater that reality appears to be, you see. If you just scale it with the finite intellect we have got, we'll say something about it, but we cannot say everything. And you see, that subject of God still remains as fresh as ever. We have got so many scriptures from all prophets and masters and teachers and sages who came in the past. With all that, the subject of God is still unsaid, you see. And that will remain unsaid even. However, I think the same number who have come in the past, I think 100-fold times more number if they come up again, even then the subject is unsaid and will remain unsaid. That was the subject of the yesterday. Well, God made man. Then we came up to the subject that God made man, you see. Man was given equal privileges by all, by nature. There's no difference between the east or west, you see, and north or south. No difference whether you belong to one social religion or the other. After all, who are you? You are a man, you see. Man has the same privileges from God as any other man. So all mankind is one. Man is the highest of all creation, you see. And it is said when the body of man was created, you see, and the life was infused into it, God ordered angels to bow to the man body. So great is man. For the reason God resides in man, well, macrocosm is in the microcosm. If you know how to go within and gauge or fathom the mystery lying within, you know still more from day to day that greater still grows still greater. So that was further subject we dealt with yesterday. God made man and man made social religions. Social religions were made for the uplift of man. We had to make the best use of them. these are meant in no way as, excuse me, as fetters to bind men to one prison or the other. That is only for the uplift of man, you see. Just as Christ said, you see, Sabbath was made for man, and man was not made for Sabbath. We have to make the best use of the Sabbath day. The whole controversy arose from there, you see. Then Christ did say, well, look here, if one of the sheep of your flock is just go astray, would you not be after finding out that astray sheep? But those who just simply followed the letter of the rule, they were just blindfolded, they would not listen to that, and they raised a hue and cry against Christ, you see. Ultimate result was that he was put to the cross. And anyhow, we are not entering into that way, but only to show that these religions, so to say, were made for the uplift of man. The wrong way of preaching has set one social religion against the other. The purpose was to make the best use, just like as a midwife would help in bringing up children at the time of birth. Similarly, the social religions were a helping factor on the way. This is a preparatory ground, because man is social, you see. He has to live in some social body, and for that reason certain rules, certain ways were set so that the man may have this peaceful earthly sojourn, you see. Man may become a world citizen. This is the outlook of man, which we had yesterday. But still greater, there is another thing, is the higher values of life. Man is composed of physical body and astral body and causal body. These are the vessels. These are according to the planes in the cosmos, you see, in the macrocosm. These were given for the purpose that whenever man would like, he may work in the physical plane through the physical body. And if he would like to just transcend that thing to the astral body, he may work to the astral plane, and further to the causal body, to the causal plane, and then even transcend all these, and know oneself, and ultimately know God. That was the purpose. But pity it is that we have only stuck fast in the physical body alone. We do not know whether there is something beyond it or not, you see. So we have to just unfathom this mystery, you see, unravel this mystery which we have. So man is composed of physical body, intellect and soul. Well, physical body is a very valuable thing, you see. It is really, truly speaking, the temple of God. Outer temples were made after the image of man, you see, dome-shaped and nose-shaped. We had to just enter inside to find ourselves and to find God, both together, living in the same house, I would say. Pity it is that one had not the opportunity just to first find himself and then to see other. One Mohammedan saint said that whatever I think we have done with our own self, no, even a blind man has not done with himself, you see, because the indweller of the house we have not seen. It is there, but we do not see. That's a pity. So this is a subject, you see. Whenever we do read scriptures, you see, people do preachers. But whenever you ask, well, what is what, they simply quote verse books to you, you see. The main thing lies, our own experience should say about God and about the other world, and not that certain prophet or book says so, you see. They are helping factors. By reading those books we come to the conclusion that there's a life beyond, that you are the indweller of the house, of the body which you are carrying, you see. There are greater possibilities within you. You can see God also resides in you, but know yourself, you will be able to know God. These are things given in the books. But the point arises, have you ever entered this body inside to see that you are the indweller of this house? Have you ever analyzed to see all that? If so, well and good. Otherwise, you have been reading books so far, but you know little or nothing about these things. So that is why the masters lay great stress on that, you see. You must be able to see for your own self what is what. You need not quote only books and scriptures, or some prophet, or some master who came in the past that he has to say so much like that. But it is you who should say what is your experience with yourself with God. Generally when we ask somebody, well, is there a God, and what do the people say? Well, yes, Bible says so. Quran of the Prophet Muhammad says so. Sixth scripture says so. Such and such master or the sage or the rishi who came in the past, he says so. Well, what have you to say on this subject? That's the point. They say so, that's discorrect, no doubt about it. But have you got any experience with yourself or God? Simply reading out scriptures is not the only thing required, I would say. I put it in a very mild way, you see. That is the elementary step. But what is given in the scriptures, first you must be able to understand what is there. That is the first thing. But pity it is, I tell you, these are the practical experiences of those masters who came in the past with their self and with God. Practical, how they analyze self from the outer body and the environments, how they knew themselves, and then what experience they had with God, they gave out a very glowing account of all that, you see. This is their statement, not yours. We will simply say, well, look here, sun rises at the definite time, you see, daily. Seasons change at their particular periods. Then there's a watch, you see, that is just wound up somewhere after 48 hours, after 24 hours. Sometimes after a week, sometimes a month, the maker of such a watch. So as a matter of inference, this great creation of the world must be some maker at the back of it, you see. This is what they have to say. As a matter of inference, they come to some conclusion that there is a God. But if you come across somebody, to the masters I tell you, you put in the question, well, is there a God? What had this to say? This question was put to, I say, Christ. He said, behold the Lord. He did not give any reasoning for that. He says, behold the Lord. That very question was put to Guru Nanak. Well, is there a God? Yes, I see my God everywhere. Then how can you see God? He said, those eyes are different with which you can see God. They don't give any as a matter of inference, you see. They see, they are competent to show others. Open though that particular eye which he can be seen, you see. Vast difference between the two. In those books, those scriptures which give an account of the experiences of the masters who came in the past, if you read only at the feet of somebody who has got experience that way, he will give you the right import of things, you see. If you hear those books, those scriptures from mere intellectual men who have got no knowledge of the practical side of things, he had never come about the body consciousness, his inner eyes never been open to see the light of God, and he had not been able to transcend into beyond and traverse higher. Well, if you hear from such a man, he will simply give some statements, you see, only in an intellectual way. There may be many more things which he would not be able to explain. Or he says, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What interpretation and only an intellectual man can give about it. So this is a practical side of things. So my point is that if you want to just understand the true import of the scriptures at our hand today, then we should just sit by somebody who has got experience, practical experience of that, first hand. He will give you the right import of things. So such people, you see, masters, whenever they come, they simply give an account of their experiences, which are parallel, as given in all scriptures we have now. The ultimate goal of all religions is to just produce perfect men. Be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. Kabir, who is considered to be the father of spirituality in the East, he says, well, what should a man should be like, you see? He says, but by example, he says, let it be like a cloud of earth. You see? Then he says, a cloud of earth just hurts the birds, you see. Then he goes on, let it be like a dust. Then he says that it also be serious the clothing, you see. Then he said, no, let it be like water, you see. He says, that is also not the good idea, because water sometimes gets cold, sometimes warm, changes. And people ask him, after all, we should have some idea before us. He said, well, man should be like perfect as God himself, you see. All mass has to say, that perfection is our goal, you see. And nature extends equal privileges to all men alike. As man is social, he has to live in some social body. The social body was made for the uplift of man, we have to make the best use of all of them. That is what is given out by the scriptures. They all say that God is one, you see. He resides in every heart, so all mankind is alike. We have to love God and love all humanity, you see. These two commandments, if we live up to them, you see, there is peace on earth. Kingdom of God will come on earth, you see. We are simply reading out are considering by lips only. You see, we are not living up to it. If you love God and God is eyes in every heart, then how can you, well, kill them, steal them, you see, rob them of their possessions and do any harm to them? No, you never think of it. That is, you find in very social living there are some rituals and ceremony. What do they say? Well, in the, amongst the Hindu you will find they consider it a very sacred thing to just give milk to a snake. Well, that is the ideal, because God resides in all creation, so I have to love all, you see. Well, what did Christ say on the subject? He had to say the same thing practically in his own way. When he was asked, what should you do while treating other men? What did Moses say? Moses said, we have tooth for tooth and nail for nail. Then he said, well, on account of the hard heartedness, of your hard heartedness, he gave that commandment. Then he said, what have you to say? Then I love thy neighbor as thyself. Then they put further question to him, then what about those who are our enemies? Then he said, love thy enemies. You see, how vastly the self of the Master is expended to embrace all creation. This is our ideal of each man. So the point is now further, when God is ice in every heart, so there are higher values of things, we are maintaining the body, you continue to maintain it, is truly speaking, the true temple of God, you see. Body is more valuable, you see, than the raiment, possessions and all of those. Life does not consist, man's life consists in not in the abundance of the things she possesseth, mind that. But the life is more than the meat and body more than the raiment, you see. Body is the temple of God, you see. That's the very highest of all creation, I see, you see. We have to make the best use of it. We are simply keeping it clean from outside and not from inside, you see. Temples of body outside, how clean we keep them inside and outside. The outer place, holy place of worship was made after the image of man, you see. Then true temple of the body is our own this self which we are carrying, you see. That is why I said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Further, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, the temple is here. So the body, man body which you are carrying with you, is the true temple of God. Until you enter inside, you come above it. You come above the body consciousness, you do not know yourself, and as such, because you do not know yourself, you cannot know God. It is the soul that has to realize and see God, you see. Nor the flesh, nor the body. This is what is said. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruptible inherit incorruptible. So we have to keep this man body, which is a true temple of God, clean and pure, you see. Blessed are they that who are blessed, who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. So this is what is laid down by all who came in the power. That is what again further it is said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man and he will dwell with them. This is not only Bible, I am quoting to you, other saints have also said the same. Body is the true temple of God. It is the true mask. You see? You turn towards God, you will have to find him where. When you come to your master, what does he tell you? Well, look here, you are after God, then where to find him? People generally think that to go to a temple, you will find God in the temples, you see. Or you find God in a mosque, or other holy place of worship. Well, those are made by the hand of man, you see. God does not dwell in the house is made by the hand of man, is it not? This is what he said. So that is why we have to just look at what they say, what they tell us. Well, look here, holy places of worship are made after the image of man. True temple is the body of man in which you live.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of the talk given by Master on August the 3rd, 1955, in Hollywood, California. Our reader this evening is Pradeep Sethi.
Good evening. We continue our journey through the question and answer session from The Light of Kripal. Last, we stopped midway through Chapter 62, titled, A Seed Has Been Sown. Question from a devotee. That's a delicate point, but several of us have talked over one-to-one. When we hear group leaders, our group leaders, giving really erroneous information, should we just keep our mouth shut, or what can we do? Just write to you, or what can we do? Master, just one thing I tell you, it is better not to talk in public where there are the new as well as the old ones. What you have detected, others may not even have thought of it. Tell him privately, this is wrong. Devotee, it's been done. Master, if he does not do it, write to me. That is why I now issued one circular for group leaders only to determine how far they have understood the scriptures. With all that, they simply ruminate, never going deeply into that. As I told you, most of the group leaders get less experience than you people here. Why? They simply think they are bosses. Some are doing like that. I don't blame the whole faith, you see. Truth remains truth. If your life is changed, that will appeal to everyone. If I am working for the same cause, and you are working for the same cause, I consider myself as you are, on the way to perfection. Then, why all these dissensions, one fighting with the other devotee? Then I would prefer not to be a group leader. Master, I will tell you, if you become a boss, it is better not to become a group leader. If you want to serve in the real sense, set an example and say what you have come to know. Others say, Master has told me that. Why do you act and pose? What things are clear to you? All right, say. But what has never been clear to you before, and you say, oh, I have seen this and that thing, come follow me, this is not the way up. If you have become the mouthpiece of a guru or the master and be true to your own self, then it's very good to become a group leader. You have been chosen for that, to set an example to others. It does not mean that you should not set an example if you are not a group leader. But the group leaders should be ideal persons, you see. They should live up to the teachings of the maximum. If they have not become masters, they at least have been on the way for so many years and must have developed by this time. If they have not developed, then how can they change? Yes, devotee, how can somebody be a true mouthpiece of the master and contemplate doing his will unless he has risen above body consciousness? Master, look here. The criterion of a master has already been given very clearly in my books. Who can give you some experience, some capital to start with, more or less according to each man's background? If he can give you something to start with, there's hope that he may give you more. Then regularity pays, and living up to what we are told pays. These things were given, as I already told you many times, to those people who lived with the Master for years, they prepared their vessels for it, and then Master gave something. Now, how can you remain with the Master for so long? So, he gives you something the very first day. More or less, of course, something to start with. Some say 10 talents, some get 40 talents, some get 50 talents, some may get 5 talents. They get, and that will be developed. So, those who develop from day to day get more and more. For that, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity of heart is required. Now, these things are not given to you straight off, the very first day, and you are asked to maintain very strict personal introspection. Do it. The more you'll do it, the more you'll progress, by regular practice and also by weeding out all failures. There's no doubt about it. You get something, and that has to be developed. Those who are satisfied without getting anything, all right, why should I interfere? Those who want it, they get it. If you don't want to come, that's all right. If they are satisfied with nothing, that's all right. So, that letter showed scriptures say 2 years of life is cut down if you want any experience. I will show you that letter when we go to Delhi. Religious experiences stand. Things of a religious nature stand more definitely than others. Some facts I cannot give out in books. Why should I want to create any controversy? Yes? Devotee, I have been led to believe that you cannot speak for the Master unless you can get the Master's thought transference directly at the time of your satsang. Master, until then, just think of the Master and go on. You are helped. Thoughts will continue. Thoughts will come of which you would never think. He'll make a channel of you. If you repose, sit up, go on, you'll have it. That's a concession to those who are chosen. But where there's ego, I have become the boss, you have become the elder brother, that's all right. You cannot become the father. I have given many things of this nature in my circulars. Nobody should stand between the Master and the initiate. If anybody stands, considers himself to be husband-like, he cannot be husband-like. He can be an elder brother, but cannot be husband or husband-like. You see, if that man has title or nothing in his bank, and you take what he gives you out as the ideal, you are gone and he is also doomed. Is it not so? And I move to the next chapter, Absorb Your Attention, February 24, 1971, Morning Darshan, Rajpur. Master has welcomed the dear ones from abroad and then asks, "So, any questions, please? All sitting mute and dumb won't do. Come up." A question. I received a letter today, and there has been a great earthquake in Los Angeles. 50 people were killed, bridges were knocked down, and a dam burst about 2 weeks ago. Master, how many killed? Devotee, 50. Master, Los Angeles? Devotee, center part of the city, but it didn't fall into the ocean. Haven't they written you that California would fall into the ocean? Master, they were afraid it would sink. So, catastrophe is over now, is it? Devotee, when the light gets very bright, my eyelids start to flutter, then open, whenever the light gets bright. Master, the remedy for that is repeat names. Recover your attention to repetition of the names. then that light will become quite bearable. You, something rankling in your mind? She has something rankling in her mind? Devotee, when we are initiated and we die, we are calm. But when we have to come back to on earth, reborn again, there is much more pain. When the soul must come back on the physical plane. Master, what for? After death? After you are initiated? If you have no attachment for the world, that soul will never return. Devotee, yes, but when attachments are, Master, when there are attachments that cannot be wound up, then he has to return, but not below the level of man. Devotee, yes, when the soul comes back, then it has much pain. Master, how do you know? When the soul comes back to earth, is reborn, birth is from the womb. At the time of birth, there is trouble to the mother, of course, but not to the child, you see. By remaining in the womb, they are saved by the light within, light and sound principle. After the child cries, is born, just show him light and give him some sound, and he will become quiet. That was his support in the womb. So, in the womb, he has no trouble. But when he is born, he is ignorant, helpless. But how does it affect you? What do you want to say? Tell me. Be clear. Devotee, it is difficult for me to explain. If one is born again, if there are attachments left and one is born again, is this painful to the soul? Master, painful in ignorance, painful naturally. When you come to the earth as a man, born in a new form, you pass through childhood in a quite helpless state. That, of course, is no pain. It is difficult, of course, but you are not conscious at that time. You are besmeared with filth. You cannot do anything. How very helpless a state you pass through. You cannot sit. You cannot stand. You learn slowly. You also learn a language which will make calling less painful. Of course, that is not what you call blissful, is it? If you have pain in the stomach, you cry. You cannot express yourself if you have pain. Very helpless state. You have to pass through that state until you come up to the very life path. Then you can develop some sense. You are more inquisitive and more discriminating. Then again you will be put on the way. That's all. Do you follow me? The first year is, of course, a helpless state. Devotee, has Kundalini Shakti got anything to do with God realization? Master, that is a way of the yogis. We are not concerned with it. Devotee, but has it got anything unconsciously to do with the path? Master, no. This is a natural way on which you are put. Kundalini is a very dangerous way. The whole body burns like fire. You cannot bear it. That is not our way. There was one astrologer who came here who was a victim of that for 2 or 3 years. He came up to me in Deolali near Bombay and said, I am burning fire. Kundalini has awakened. When he was initiated into Surakshit Yoga, it was all right. That's not our way. Devotee, I am not meditating well at all. Master, why not? Then do it accurately. Nobody else has to do it for you. What do you see? Devotee, yellow light. Master, what else? Just that. Master, the dim light, then look into the middle. That will grow bright. I spoke to you the other day. If you are done, look into the middle, not the whole of it. That will grow bright. Sound is all right? to another, "You? Going better? What do you see?" Devotee, "No, today I am sick. I cannot concentrate." Master, "Today that's all right. Yesterday you told me you were getting better. Saw a luminous farm with changing light around it. That's all right, scintillating light. That's all right. What is wrong with him today? Has he got some disease?" Devotee, "He has got fever." Master, "That's all right. Fever does not stand in the way. In fever, man has more time for concentration. Have you got any medicine?" Devotee, "He has got some with him." Master, "All right. That's okay. You will get better. Thank God. How many questions can there be? The only things remain to do meditation accurately." Devotee, "Sometimes she sees bright gray color and sometimes it appears like clouds going and passing by." Master, "Cloudy sky, just look in the middle. Then that will burst. Clouds will be subsided. Light will come from behind." Devotee, "She says she finds it difficult to define that." Master, "To define that? You get cloudy sky with light behind, whitish, palish, reddish." Devotee, "She sees only clouds without light behind, gray behind." Master, "Just look in the middle. That will grow bright. Later on, the clouds will subside. Simply look continuously without break with full attention. Nothing more than that. You are not to differentiate, not to discriminate. No clutching on your part to have one thing or the other. Simply continue looking. That's all. Leave your intellect for a while. Don't judge. Look continuously. That's all. When you differentiate or discriminate or you think you have got this, you have not got that, that stands in the way. Continue looking continuously without a break, intently, minutely. Everything will come all right. When you put your intellect in there, the whole thing goes wrong. Until the outgoing faculties are controlled, mind is controlled, and intellect is also stilled, only then you will have more experience. Do you follow me? Your intellect works now. Leave it for a while. Look continuously, leaving everything aside. When you get some sun, some light, some this, some that, you differentiate. This is not that, that, this is that. Leave it all. Look continuously, without a break, intently, minutely, to find out what is in there. Nothing more. Sweetly, with no intellectual wrestling going on there. Do it accurately. The more you will do it in that way, the more progress you will have. Now you get something, something less, sometimes more. Sometimes you get more, but again your intellect comes and again further progress is retarded. Follow implicitly what you are told, leaving your whys and wherefores and intellectual attainments. Look continuously, like a child. That's all. When child looks, his gaze is fixed continuously. When the gaze is fixed, the mind is also fixed. This has to be done regularly. Regularity, time factor is necessary for progress. As it is now, sometimes you progress, then recede, again progress, then recede. Diary is a necessity. Every moment you are judging what is going on. Judge as when a seed is put underground and after an hour you dig it up to see if it has sprouted forth. Later you dig it out of the earth. Again you see if it is there. Water it continuously, as I told you the other day, by regular continuous attention. That will sprout forth. If you dig it up to look at the seed, again cover it, then dig it up, that spoils the seedling, does it not? Follow implicitly without intervention of your intellect. You know there is light. Are you sure there is light within? Have you ever seen light? devotee, she is not sure. Master, what nonsense are you talking? Who else can be sure? Follow implicitly what you are told to do. Then you will have it. Always be grateful for what you get and hope for the more. It is you who sees, not I or anybody else. Be definite and have definite things. On account of your intellectual wrestling, this and that thing, sometimes you go up and again come down. If you follow implicitly from day to day, you will have more progress. Some days you are very happy, gaining. Some days there is something wrong in your mind. You are thinking of the past, future, this and that. That spoils the show. You are here only for meditation. Then you will go on all right. It is a matter of seeing how much ability or intellectual attainment is required for that. Even a child sees how simple it is and how difficult we have made it. Is it not so? And what is it that makes it difficult? Our intellect. Intellect is all right for understanding. I am not altogether denouncing the intellect. It is for the purpose of understanding. When you have understood, then do it. You may study for years to acquire understanding, but once you have understood and have seen proof for your own self that there is light, then why all this coming and going, receding and progressing? How much ability is required in seeing? Is any ability required? Is any PhD degree or scientific degree required for that? Look, see you. The child sees. Is it not easy? Don't let your intellect stand in your way. Look sweetly into what comes. What is given to you, receive. And you will see the same thing about which the scriptures have told you. You have by now received some experience of it. There is no doubt now. There is no doubt about it, you see. But I wish you progress in days that would ordinarily take years. Put in your whole time. You are here for that purpose. Forget everything. Past, future, here, there, relations, your body, even your intellect. Leave it all aside. How long does it take? You are to absorb your attention into light or sound. That's all. It is the yoga of the attention, you see. Surat Yoga, not Jnana Yoga, nor Hatha Yoga, nor Bhakti Yoga. It is Surat Yoga, which even a child can do. I think a child can do even better. This is why when children are given a sitting, they see light. They simply see, all right, look. They look with no intellectual wrestling. This is what is required. Intellect is a good thing, again I will say. It is not to be denounced altogether, but it is only for understanding. When you have understood, then leave. Leave it aside. Go. Do it. So, this is, I think, the biggest problem we've got. Intellectual wrestling. The man with intellectual attainments can explain the same thing in so many ways. Intellectual attainments are like a garland of flowers around the neck of a practical man. But if he doesn't have any degree, he'll explain from his own vocabulary using examples around him. Bulle Shah went to his guru, who was a gardener, putting samplings here and there, and asked him how to find God. Oh, very simple. Just take the saplings from here and put it there. That's all. Just as you are directing your attention from one side to another. That's all. He explained in a very simple way what a learned man would explain in so many books. After all, we have to do the same thing. So, make the best use of your intellect. I do not denounce it, but when once you have understood, follow it. So, feelings, emotions, and drawings, inferences are all subject to error, as I told you. Seeing is above all. It is a matter of seeing. How simple it is to look sweetly. I look sweetly, I speak to eyes, that darkness will be thinned. You are light. You will be absorbed in light still more. You are already light. You will become bigger light. I think you have followed. I have explained the same thing to you in so many years. If you want regular, continuous progress from day to day, do as I tell you. Every saint has his past, and every sinner his future. You are the same as I am or anybody else. The only difference lies there. The only difference between a learned man and an unlearned is that the learned man can explain to you in so many ways, quoting quotations from here, there, and everywhere, to bring home some evidences of what he saw. An unlearned man says, "All right, take the sapling, put it there. After all, this is to be done, is it not? It appears a little difficult in the beginning, but this way is not difficult, I tell you. The very simplest way, quite natural, even a child can do it. When the child is absorbed, he looks holy. He forgets everything. He enjoys everything. That is why a child can be wholly, solely there in what he sees, what he eats, whatever he does. A child is more happy than a grown-up man. Why? He is wholly, solely there in what he does. That is why Christ said to be like little children. Suffer, little children, to come unto me. You follow me? What he meant there? For there's kingdom of heaven. You will have to become a child. That's all." Master has apparently given out some prasad. The other prasad will grow more and more. What you have already got within you, that will grow more and more if eaten up in few minutes, you see. The next chapter, "The House is on Fire," February 24, 1971. In some of the writings, you talk about the still point in the meditation where one is still, and today I felt some power pull me up. Master, yes, that's all right. Don't be afraid of it. Astral body will leave body. Devotee, no, it felt good. Master, yes, of course. It is bliss-giving. Now, at the time of leaving the body, you will go jolly. If you go daily, when you know how to leave your body at will, then there is no fear of death. By regular practice, you will come up to that. Devotee, why have you made it so that we are now in such a great delusion? Master, delusion? When the house is on fire, what should you do? Should you inquire while sitting there, why was this house put on fire? It is better to get out of the burning house and then inquire. First thing. The second is that we should go to God who made the world and ask why he made all this. I think, if it is possible, he would reply correctly. Others will give you only assumptions. Why do we give birth to a child? You know, it is our will. All masters say that he wished it. He was one and wished to be many. This is his will. Why did he? We should go and ask him further. And if God willing, with great fortune, we reach him, then we know him too, and there will be no questions left. Kabir says, "I have not seen anyone who has taken birth and is happy. So ask anybody, you see, he'll say he has something against his wishes." Saint Tulsidas, who was a saint, and Guru Nanak both say the same thing. The world is all a maya. Tulsidas says, "All are unhappy on account of either physical body, illness, or for want of money, or by the cruelty of mind. All complain against mind." Then he says, "Is there any remedy for this?" He says, "Yes, there is one remedy. Just sit at the feet of a saint. He lets you know why you are unhappy. We are conscious entities, so we can become happy only when we come into contact with higher consciousness, you see. Our soul is all wisdom, eternal, all joy, all bliss. If our soul comes in contact with the Oversoul or God, only then is there happiness. And that brings me to the end of my reading today with Master's Grace. We will continue this in my next reading. I started today midway through Chapter 62, A Seed Has Been Sown in Light of Kripal, and moved on to the next chapter, Absorb Your Attention, and then moved on to The House is on Fire. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you, Master, for your wonderful answers to all our questions.
And thank you for reading for us, Pradeep. There were 51 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, Master, for providing this for us, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Love knows service and sacrifice. Love beautifies everything. Love knows no burden. Love knows giving, not taking.